Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today's date is the 14th of Rabiul Awal, 1443, corresponding to the date 21st October 2021. We welcome all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And Alhamdulillah, the past 3 weeks we discussed the three schools of thought, and today is the last of the four series, and we are going to be discussing Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatul Ali's life and his works. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Hazrat Mufti Sapia, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa razaid. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, we know we're discussing Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayk. So can Mufti Sahib please explain and discuss his name and his details?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding his name, his full name is Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hanbal bin Hilal bin Asad al-Shaybani. So normally we say Ahmad bin Hanbal, meaning we don't make his lineage towards his father directly, although his father is Ahmad bin Muhammad, that's the way. But many a time in Islam we see Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu Allah alayhi wa sallam in the battle also who said, Anan Nabiyyu la kadhib, An Ibn Abdul Muttalib, I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Whereas we know Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father was Abdullah. So therefore in Arabic this is well known, myself Abdul Qadir bin Ismail bin Usman bin Hussein. So we leave out father, grandfather, you go to great grandfather. So all that is totally permissible in Islam. And then you see Shaybani. Shaybani is a tribe. So you must remember that Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani of the Hanafi school, and he was Abu Abdullah, that was his kunya and agnomen, and he was born in the month of Rabiul Awal. Subhanallah, wulida fi Baghdad, wa tuwfiya fi Baghdad. He was born in Baghdad in the year 164, and wa tuwfiya bi Baghdad, and he passes away also in Baghdad in the year 241. So we see that he lives for 77 years or so. So mashallah that he was born in the month which we are currently in now, Rabiul Awal, and on the 12th of Rabiul Awal 241 he passes away. He is Marwaziul Asal. So Marwazi, Mar. So Mar also is a place there in Uzbekistan side or those places there. So meaning his forefathers came from there, but he is proper Arab and is from Iraq and from Baghdad and so forth. So we must remember that is regarding his birth, regarding his, you know, place of birth and where he was and so forth and so on. So regarding maybe we should discuss who his teachers were and so forth. His greatest teacher was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's greatest teacher was Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said regarding him that he has 8 qualities. Imam Shafi'i, the teacher said regarding Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he has 8 attributes. What are the 8 attributes? Imamun fil hadith. He was a master and expert in hadith. And you know his famous work of Musnad Ahmad. Then Imamun fil fiqh, is an expert in fiqh as well. So we must remember many a time people think Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was only a muhaddis. No, he was muhaddis and faqih par excellence. So remember, this is Ustad, his teacher saying, Imamun fil lugha, and remember he was an imam in Arabic, in linguistics as well. Imamun fil Quran. Subhanallah, the khidmat he made for Quran, as we'll mention just now. Very few people in the world did that. Imamun fil faqr. Remember an imam in poverty, the difficulties he underwent. Very few people in the world will do that after Anbiya, Prophets and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Imamun fi zuhud, he showed that he is not interested in the glitter glamour of this world. Their aim was to be beloved by Almighty Allah, beloved by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They detached themselves from this dunya and this world and attached themselves to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the akhirat and Jannat al Firdaus. Imamun fil wara. Imagine these are the qualities his teacher Imam Shafi is speaking for me. He was a master as far as taqwa, piety, wara goes. So the highest caliber of piety, and imamun fi sunnah, and imam in sunnah. So hadith will be the oral hadith, the sayings of the master alayhi salam, and sunnah will be the actions of Nabi alayhi salam, and where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave tacit approval, we call taqreerun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the presence of the master alayhi salam, there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw something or heard something and gave permission, tacit approval. Or khulukun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and khalqun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The khuluk, the character of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so sublime, and the features of the master alayhi salatu salam. So subhanallah, we see that he was a person, he would study, you must remember, initially by Yahya ibn Sayyid al-Qattan and all of them and so forth. And then in the year 195, remember, Imam Shafi entered Baghdad, and that is where his life changed. And remember that Imam Shafi left Baghdad and so forth in the year 199 to go to Egypt. And on that occasion, remember that he made that statement, that he said that I left this person behind me. He is afqah and he is ahd, you know, the greatest scholar and atqa. Then there's no one better than Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. See, I give you one incident here. How student learns from teacher and teacher learns from student. وَدَخَلَ شَافِئِيُّ يَوْمًا عَلَىٰ أَحْمَدْ بِنْ حَنْبَلٍ. One day the teacher goes to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and says, Ya Aba Abdullah, كُنْتُ الْيَوْمَ أَهْلِ الْإِرَاقِ فِي مَسْأَلَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Today I had a discussion with the Iraqis, meaning the Hanafi scholars, and really I couldn't substantiate what I'm going to say from hadith. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مَئِي فِي ذَلِكَ حَدِيث. I didn't have a hadith on the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَدَّفَا إِلَيْهِ أَحْمَدْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَحَادِيث. Imam Ahmad gave him three ahadith and said that use this, use this, use that. Then he told him, Jazakallahu khaira. So imagine how they benefited from one another. So therefore, we should always remember the great, great role this fuqaha had made and so forth. You know Abu Zur'a Razi, what he used to say? He used to say, Kana Ahmad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, yahfadu alfa alfi hadith. He memorized 1,000,000 hadith. 1,000,000, we can't even memorize 100 or 1,000 hadith in this day. 1,000,000 hadith. So you asked him that, how you remember all this? He says that I used to memorize it and practice on it. So every hadith of the master alayhi salatu salam, he used to learn and used to practice on it. So therefore he is an imam, an all round imam, versatile scholar and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's students, would Mufti Sahib like to mention a few, please?
So you must remember Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah's students, we will find that his sons are also his students, and we will find that others are also his students. So let me give you some of his students, and then you will understand who they are and what they did and so forth and so on. For example, we see that his one son's name was Salih. And remember, what did the Salih do? Who is the student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal also, and his son also. So remember that this son of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, this is what he Jadid, Salih bin Ahmad bin Hanbal. He was the eldest son of Imam Ahmad. He should learn fiqh and hadith from his father. And what he did was, he took Samia min Abihi Masail Kathira. So he used to write all the Masail of his father. So he recorded the fiqh of his father. That is who? Salih bin Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. And the other son who is famous also, Abdullah bin Ahmad bin Hanbal, he took the hadith of his father, and lo and behold, this is how both sons, they preserved their father's fiqh and hadith as well. So we see that these are the great, great sons of great, great ulama. Then in the Ahmad Hanbali fiqh, you find a person, Asram, Hamza, Sa, Ra, Mim, Asram. So he is the person who used to narrate from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal the fiqh and many, many ahadith and all that. And mashallah, he's got a book called As-Sunan fil Fiqh. So lahu kitab As-Sunan fil Fiqh. And that is according to the madhab of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, and authored and compiled by Imam Asram, a famous scholar of the, remember, the Hanbali school. Then you have another one, Abdul Malik bin Abdul Hamid. So bin Mihran. So he stayed with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal for more than 20 years. So we must remember that. So he is considered as one of the senior students of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. Then you have another one, Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hajjaj. He was what we will call Tilmide Rashid, one of the khas and special students of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And he also wrote many, many books and all these type of things. When he said Abu Bakr, so you must remember it meant Al-Marwazi. So you must remember it refers to him. So when you're discussing the Hanbali fiqh and you use the word Abu Bakr, so it refers to him. And if you study hadith and so forth, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is the ustad of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. He's the ustad of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. He's the ustad of Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah. So you see that so many people benefited from him. So he was really a giant in his field, we must remember. The greatest, greatest thing which Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. So you know the statement I was telling you, Imam Shafi made when he bid farewell to Baghdad was this. And he said that, you know, that Imam Shafi said, Kharajtu min Baghdad. I left Baghdad. Wama khalaftu biha atqa wala afqa min abni Hanbal. That I'm leaving behind here in Baghdad. I'm going towards Egypt, Cairo. And my Khalifa here is the one who's most atqa, the greatest taqwa and piety. And afqa, and the one who understood fiqh the most from me is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. So what a great shahadat, and subhanallah, that these were the people. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when you study, then he went to Kufa, Basra, Makkah, Medina, Yemen, Sham means Syria, Jordan, Palestine, all that to go and imbibe and acquire this knowledge and so forth and so on. You know, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, his one title is Imam Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which we'll discuss just now. So therefore, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah's teacher, Ali ibn al-Madini, he used to say, Inna Allah azza al-Islam bi rajulain, that Allah Ta'ala gave, you must remember, honor, power to Islam because of two people. It was difficult, difficult time, but they stood as a pillar of strength. One, Abi Bakrin, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, Yawm al-Ridda. Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, demise takes place, and people, some of them became murtad. He stood firm and said, if any one of you don't pay the zakat and so forth, then laqataltuhum, I will go and then wage war against you. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Yawm al-Mihna, when the fitna took place of the Quran, God, whether is makhluk, ghair makhluk, we'll discuss that just now, inshallah. And you know, Bishari Hafi, subhanallah, in 2000, what can we say? Hada min fadli Rabbi, hada rahmatun min Rabbi. Only the grace and the mercy of Almighty Allah. I visited Imam Abu Hanifa's grave there in Azamiya in Iraq, Imam Shafi's grave there in Cairo, and Imam Malik's grave in Baqi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And subhanallah, it's right next to the Dijla, right next to the Tigris River. And you know, you have two rivers there, the Furat, the Euphrates, and the Dijla, that is the Tigris. So he, Imam Ahmad, is buried just next there. And next to him is the sage of the age, Bishr Hafi, rahimahullah, is buried. What did Bishr Hafi say regarding the stance Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, took? He said, Inna Ahmad qama maqam al-anbiya. He stood firm, just like al-anbiya. Obviously, he's not a Nabi, he's not a Sahabi, he's not a Tabi'i, but he stood that so firm, and he took all the punishment meted out to him, like how anbiya were tortured, persecuted. So that is what he meant. And you know, Allah Jalla wala wa tu'izzu man tasha wa tuzillu man tasha. So we see that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmullah, that he then received the title of Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what books did Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi write?
Remember, the books that he wrote, the famous book is what we will call the Musnad Ahmad. And as we told you that he by hearted already, you must remember, 1 million ahadith and so forth. So he was a master in that. And if you see how the ulama has praised him across the board, you must remember, I'll just give you some of them. It's Haq bin Rahaway. So you must remember, who's the ustad of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, used to quote and say, Yahya bin Adam used to say, Ahmad bin Hanbal is imamuna. He's our imam and is a giant and so forth and so on. So you must remember that there were so many great, great people that praised Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Ibrahim Harbi used to say, Ka'anna Allah qad jama'a lahu ilma al-awwaleen min kulli sinfin. So you must remember, as though as Allah Ta'ala gathered for him the knowledge of all the great, great Sahaba, Tabi'in, and yet this one person possessed it, and that is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. So therefore we must remember, see Ishaq bin Rahaway himself what he says, Imam Bukhari's famous teacher, Ahmad bin Hanbal hujjatan bayna Allah wa bayna khalqihi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was a hujjah, so an evidence, a proof for people. With when he quotes something, therefore Ibn Taymiyyah and them used to say that in the whole Musnad Ahmad there is no maudu hadith, no fabricated. Yes, you will find sahih hadith, authentic, a hadith that are hasan and good. You will find weak hadith, but you won't find maudu hadith. So this shows, you must remember, the greatness of the person. So that is his most famous work, and that is called the Musnad Ahmad. And subhanallah, today that the copy I have is in 10 volumes. And what is great about it is that when the ulama made tahqiq, and then they edited it and so forth. So for example, you know, Musnad Ahmad, now you want to study, for example, Abdullah ibn Umar. So all his riwayat. So in the starting of that, they will tell you Asahul Asanid, which are the best of chains of transmitters and transmission to Abdullah ibn Umar. So you will find Malik, An-Nafi, Adam ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So for every great Sahabi, every Sahabi is great, but every famous Sahabi in Hadith, remember that you will find they have the chain there. So that makes it very, very easy for us to come to know that which Sahabi, who were their famous students, and who, which was the greatest change and so forth. Because Musnad Ahmad will start, you must remember, with the Sahaba radiallahu an and so forth. So these are all finer points that we should remember as well.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what were the challenges did Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi face?
Remember that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah lived in the time when the Abbasid Khalifa it was there. And when it was the time of Ma'mun, so Ma'mun was the son, you must remember, of Rashid and so forth. So that what happened was the Mu'tazilas were now gaining a lot of prominence, the people who wanted to do everything logically and so forth. So then there was a discussion, and you must remember the discussion was Al-Qur'anu makhluk or ghayru makhluk. Does Qur'an Sharif remember this, that was it makhluk or ghayru makhluk? So what is the difference? So the difference is this, that what we believe, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and for which Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal gave his life, we must remember, we say that Almighty Allah Jalla wala is Azali. Allah Jalla wala is Qadim. He was, He is, He always will be. Never will there be. He is Huwal Awwalu, He is the first, Bila Bidaya, without the starting, Almighty Allah. And Huwal Akhiru, He is the last, Bila Nihaya, without the ending. So we say Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal stood for that, that the Quran Sharif is Kalamullah, is the direct speech of Almighty Allah, Ghayru Makhluk, and not created. Created means it has a starting, has an ending. So it means there was a time when it wasn't there. There was a time it will not be there, because it perishes. So me and you, creation, we all will perish. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut, kullu shay'in halikun illa wajah, kullu man alayhi afan. So creation has a starting, ending. And we say, because the Quran Sharif is Kalamullah, is the direct speech of Almighty Allah, so how Almighty Allah was, is, will always be Hayyul Qayyum. So likewise the Quran Sharif is like that. But these Mu'tazilites, these people who are rationalists, they want to understand everything from a logical perspective, they used to say is makhluk. Then it became the time of Mu'tasim, that was the next ruler, and he was the one who then warned Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and told him, you better agree with us, meaning you must say Quran is makhluk, it has a starting and it has an ending, otherwise you will be punished severely and so forth and so on. So nevertheless, during this time of Mu'tasim Billah, so debates were held and all these type of things. So he used to tell him that I'm telling you la adribannaka bisiyat, that we will take the whoops and we will lash you if you don't agree with us and so forth. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was brought. The many ulama, Allah Ta'ala don't put us through such tests, you know, we are all very, very weak. But these were the giants. Therefore I say, why did Allah let these four fig? There are many others, but Allah chooses whoever He wants. Each one of them landed up in jail. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, and none of them ever carried favor with the rulers and the authorities. When the time came, they spoke against them, and when the authorities then intimidated them, threatened them, they told them, do whatever you want to, but we will not compromise on our deed, we will not apologize for this. So that was their sincerity, their istiqamah, their steadfastness. Now listen, so you must remember what happens. So he is brought, and then remember that he's fastened between two poles, like you see, and remember that his kurta mubarak also was removed, you know. So when you read the story of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, you'll cry, you know. So I give you now. So then they called the Jallad, the person to whoop him. So listen to this. If you want a great, great book on Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, then you must read the Manaqib of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the virtues and the merits of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal by Allama Ibn al-Jawzi. It's a masterpiece which I have and considered as one of the best books on his life history. Imam Abu Zahra wrote Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and in Hilyatul Awliya also you will find, in Bidaya wa Nihaya also you will find, in Siru A'lamin Nubala also you will find. But these are the best books. So when they hit him the first time and lashed him, he, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the people are looking, the ulama are crying, because look at, he is the one standing up for us. He said, Bismillah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, in the name of Allah. When they hit him the second time and lashed him, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is the meaning of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to Abdullah bin Qais radiallahu an. He is known as Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Ya Aba Musa, must I teach you? Kanzun min kunuzil jannah, one of the treasures of Jannah, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So his name, Abdullah bin Qais, he hails from Yemen, Ash'ari tribe. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When the adhan goes and the muadhin says and renders the words, hayya ala swalah, hayya ala falah, is sunnah to answer the hay alatain with the hawq alatain. Hay alatain, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. And reply with the hawq alatain with the la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now look at the meaning. La hawla, there is no might to take me towards good deeds except Almighty Allah. Wa la quwwata, there is no power to prevent me from vices except Almighty Allah. So see what a powerful, potent meaning it is. So the first time they lashed him, Bismillah. The second time they lashed him, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The third time they lashed him, he said, Al-Qur'anu kalamullah. The Qur'an is the direct speech of Almighty Allah and is ghair makhluk. It's not, you can do what you want to, I'll give my life, but I'll never agree with you rationalists and mu'tazilites and people who want to apply logic and trample on the belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that was his third statement. When the fourth time they whooped him and lashed him, he said, لَيْ يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. So you must remember that. They said that he said, nothing will harm, meaning no calamity, no musibat, no trial will fall upon us, except which Almighty Allah has prescribed and written. So imagine this carried on for months and months. They said over 1,000 times he was lashed and so forth and so on. So Allah is elevating his rank and his status and so forth. And then you must remember he went away, Mu'tasim. Wathiq came and carried on. Then Mutawakkil came. So when Mutawakkil came, he realized that we are totally wrong. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is right. He was released and then he went, you must remember, lo and behold, the way of the rulers, they try and bribe you up. And they brought gold, thousands of coins and so forth, to give to Imami, to him. So you must remember, he refused to take it. And he didn't accept it. That is what Ibn al-Madini, Ali Ibn al-Madini meant, Azzallahu al-Islam bi rajulain. Two people Allah used in difficult times. One was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Yawm al-Ridda, after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, when some people became murtad, and the time you must remember when Yom al-Mihna, you call this day Mihna, the time of torture, trials, persecution, that the day he stood so firm. You know what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to tell them? Baini wa bainakum Yom al-Janaza. You will see between me and you the day of my janaza. This is karamat and ba'd al-maut. So Allah Ta'ala honors people after their death. I told you when we ran the series of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, of Imam Abu Hanifa, that Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah's one title was that Al-Imam Al-A'zam. So the place where he is buried, remember, is not now is known as A'zamiyya. In his lifetime, no. So after his demise, they changed the name. So this is Karamatan, the Adal Imam Al-Jalil, for this great giant Imam Abu Hanifa. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, same thing. Write down, O students, O ulama, make notes. The day of his janaza, 800,000 people attended. In those days, 800,000 people, 60,000 women attended the janaza. You must remember that in those days, that there was taqwa, piety, all that. Separate arrangements made for him. Karamatan lihad al-imam, imam ahli sunnah wal-jama'ah. 20,000 Jews, Christians approximately, embrace Islam after the death of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. One person makes sacrifice and see how Allah gives hidayah to thousands. So this is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So many ulama have written books on him and so forth and so on. When Allah wants to honor a person, he passes away on a Friday. It's 12 Rabi'ul Awwal, the day when Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place. And remember, the year is 241 after Hijrah. And Imam, the ulama have written that he was married to his wife for over 30 years. And he says, not one day we had argument. Imagine, this is what they meant, atqa, and the person would, you know, soma and arwa, the person with so much taqwa and piety and so. He would just agree with his wife, where I'm going to make all arguments and thus, and his humility and so forth. So 30 plus years he lived, but no real argument with his wife and so forth and so on. So this is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. When his father Muhammad passed away, he had doubt regarding one transaction, one. And when he had to inherit, so you must remember, he inherited a large, substantial amount, but he gave everything away, not because of haram, but because of shirk and shuba, just because of doubt. Me and you will say, hal min mazid, bring more and more, bring more and more. I mean, that's the truth. Let us be honest about this. So that is how, da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which puts you and places you into doubt, and offer that in which there's no doubt. So this is how Almighty Allah Jalla Wala made them shine and so forth. Two, three other things I want to say. For you, the students in various darlooms and wherever, this is a masterpiece, Mona Zaid, for you also. I don't know where, but I got this book in Makkah Mukarrama. And you must remember, regarding Imam Shafi, I told you, so that book you all must get if you want to understand the four schools and so forth. Al-Masailul Lati Infarada Biha Al-Shafi'i Duna Ikhwatihi. Those Masail where Imam Shafi'i is one side, and the other three Imams on the other side, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. See, even Ahmad bin Hanbal differed with his Ustad, Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah. So, by Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah. Right? So that is if you want to understand the Shafi'i fiqh properly and so. If you want to understand the Hanbali fiqh, which to be honest, you must remember today is neglected in most darulums and so forth and jamiat. So this book is a masterpiece. I don't know, many years ago in Makkah, so I bought it, Al-Fathur Rabbani. The book's name is Al-Fathur Rabbani bi Mufradati Ibn Hanbal Al-Shaybani. Al-Fathur Rabbani bi Mufradati Ibn Hanbal Al-Shaybani. So this is an excellent book, mashallah. Another book which I, and the author is Sheikh Ahmed bin Abdul Mun'im. Sheikh Ahmed bin Abdul Mun'im. So you must remember, so that is a masterpiece for the Hanbali fiqh. Excellent book. I benefited a lot from here. Another though, just in Ramadan, you know, and 82, my father passed away. So 83, I was teaching in Darulum, and it was holiday time and so forth in 82. And then 83, my mother was very, very, you understand, you know, she wants to go. So I told that, fine, I'll take you. So my wife, myself, my mother, we went for Umrah. So Alhamdulillah, in Ramadan, during Ramadan, there one sheikh used to lecture, you know, very good lectures right by the Haram Sharif. He's from that area there, Riyadh, Qasim, those areas. But for Ramadan, they invited him, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Balayhi. Sheikh Abdullah Al-Balayhi, words like that, some name like that. And And then I went to him one day and I told him, Sheikh, you know what, me, I'm from South Africa and I'm teaching, and we don't really have books, you know, regarding the Hanbalis and us and that. So he told me, come with me. So he took me to where he was staying, living, and there. So in the hotel, one they gave him. They are simple sheikhs, not all, you know. So not protocol with guards and all that, nothing like that. You just walk with him simple. So he started giving me one book in 3 volumes. He gave me, I don't know how many copies. I told him, Sheikh, me, I'm going by plane, you know, home. I'm not going with the ship and all that. So he started laughing and all these things. So I told him, I'll take one copy. Till today, I use it. And for you, the students, ulama, people who want to study this, is a masterpiece, very good book. If you want to study Hanbali fiqh, then the most famous book is Al-Mughni of Ibn Qudama. But if you study this Sheikh's book here, you get some other insights also. The book's name is Al-Salsabil fi Ma'rifati Dalil. Al-Salsabil fi Ma'rifati Dalil. So I found this book to be excellent for 3 reasons. Number one is, he will quote the Hanbali school, and then he will give you the commentary, the Dalail, and so then he will mention the other schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and then most places, not everywhere, but most places, he will tell you what Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Hafiz Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah and them, their verdicts are, and so forth. So very, very nice book, Al-Salsabil fi Ma'rifati Dalil.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, how does Ibn Taymiyyah play a role in the Hanbali school?
Remember that Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah was a great scholar. There's no question about that. But he made some mistakes, and some serious mistakes also. We must accept that as well. For those who don't know Arabic, Urdu and all, then the best book to read regarding Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah will be the book written by Sheikh Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, The Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. So the volume 2 is dedicated to Ibn Taymiyyah. So this book was written in Arabic, and then it translated Urdu, and then English, and then various other languages. So the book is The Saviors of the Islamic Spirit, and Ibn Taymiyyah's one is on volume 2. So there you will find great, great information and so forth. Regarding Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah, you must remember, aslan usulan, originally he was Hanbali, and then the more and more he went into knowledge and so forth. So this is another book I have, which is also a masterpiece, and the title of it is Ikhtiyarat, that of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Ikhtiyarat of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So there, they divided the book into 3-4 parts. Where he, Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah, differs with the Hanbali school. Right? So you must remember, Hanbali say 20 rakats Tarawih, he say 8 rakats and all that. So easy example like that. So you must remember, so there's difference. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal will say 3 talaqs, and he will say 1 talaq like that. So obviously on that we will say that Ibn Taymiyyah is wrong, and we don't agree with him. Despite Ma'a Jalalati Qadrihi and Wa Imamatihi, that is a great scholar, you must remember that. So that's one. Second part, they show where he differed were the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You must remember, meaning that the 4 schools, he went against them. So that is like the same examples I gave you, that all 4 schools agree that 20 rakats Tarawih, 3 talaqs are 3, and so forth. So he never only differed against the Hanbalis, but against all 4 schools, right? Then the third part, where he differed against the whole Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that is Ibn Taymiyyah. For example, he, Ibn Taymiyyah, believes that one day, that after long, 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 long time, Allah alone knows how many thousand, million years, whatever, there will be fina'un nar, that Jahannam will finish up. You must remember that. So Ibn Sheikh Albani and all of them, they also wrote books against Ibn Taymiyyah on that issue and so forth. So there, he differed against everybody. Therefore, our ulama, they made a wonderful statement, you know. So you must remember this, that Hazrat Mufti Saeed Ahmed Palampuri, who came here to South Africa twice, that he mentioned it. And this kind of sentence, if you understood the real meaning of it, is one of the sentences you must remember lifelong. So they wrote that he heard from his teacher like that. So you must remember, they said, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, tafsir mein, hadith mein, fiqh mein, and all that khilari te. He was a expert, master in that. But aqidah mein anari te. So in Urdu they say in fiqh and hadith and that khilari te, he was an expert. But in aqidah, he was anari te. In some issues in aqidah, he made some serious blunders. So you must remember and these type of things here. So like this is one of the blunders. You must remember these type of things here. So therefore, when you study Ibn Taymiyyah and that, you need to be very careful. That because, now this is where you see that this is the Salafis. So the Salafis initially were Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, all of them. So they were people who really had good intentions, everything, and so forth and so on. Their mistakes, Allah forgive them, Allah Ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. But today Salafis, I reiterate, today this morning I got a question. You must remember, one person told me in his WhatsApp message that in my family I got Salafis, and I know that they're not right, but how can I save my children, and so forth and so on. So today's Salafis, the problem with them, first problem, is that they don't have knowledge of Quran Sharif. They don't have knowledge of Muslim. I'm speaking generally. Now, I don't say everyone, but I'll say majority. They don't have knowledge, you must remember, of Hadith. They don't have knowledge of Rijal, the change of transmission. They don't have knowledge of Fiqh and Usulul Fiqh and so forth. So they just know few ahadis. Now look at the crimes. You go today to Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, then you will see the Salafis in action. So because they is the hub, you must remember that people come from all parts of the world. So anybody can see it now. Now Umrah season is open. Again, big crowds will go in. So you will see it. And we've been several times with Allah's help. See, blatant. That the Salafis, majority of them, they don't read Salat. You must remember what they had on. So this is shaitaniyat of the Salafis. You must remember this. That non-Muslims, when they go to the church and that they don't wear hat. So headgear. But remember that today Salafis, they'll tell you that Laysa be false and Laysa doesn't. The bigger Salafi scholar, you must remember, who we met also, is Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah. I have his fatwa, you must remember this, Akhtaul Al-Qawlul Mubin, Fi Akhtaul Musallin. In there, Sheikh Albani's fatwa is mentioned, when you read Salat without the topi, qalansuwa, headgear, all that is makruh and sinful and meaning that. So you must remember, so that is what I'm saying. So they practice what they want to, what suits their desires. So that is what Islam teaches is totally haram. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. If you want Jannah and paradise, you must fear the day when we're going to stand in the court of Allah, and you must be from those people who restrain yourself from your worms, fancies and desires. If you know Arabic language, Hawa in Arabic means to go lower, 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 to debase and relegate yourself. So that is what happens when people follow their desires. Then you see their feet, one right wing, one left wing, and the shaitan in between, you know. You will see how they stand. So me, I fix them up properly, you understand? That when they stand like this, so then I just trap his toes properly. So you must remember, then they don't make all this nonsense with me. So, and he keeps quiet, because I tell him you must stand properly. So you must, they can see I'm big, you know. They stretch their feet like this, and you will see how much harm it causes in the surfs. One day, I was there in the haram. So Alhamdulillah, I interacted with all of them. So Sheikh Albani I met, Sheikh Bin Baz I met, Rahimahullah, Sheikh Salih Usaymin, and Yusuf Qardawi Sheikh, he's big Sheikh of the Salafis also, and he's still alive and so forth. So all of them we met and we interacted and so forth. So you must remember I was in the Haram, and somebody asked him, so I was speaking not from third party, I was there. Somebody asked him that this business of putting the feet like this so far up, but this is all the Salafi business. So you must remember that they're hijacking the Hanbali mazhab actually. So what they have today they're speaking about. So that he told them, Fahmun khati'un. They misunderstanding and misconstruing the hadith. Those were his words when he answered that question. So that is also wrong. We don't accept that. So that's second one. Third one, you will see Ramadan Mubarak, you're supposed to be reading more and more Salat. The shaitans are closed, everything is there. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ, the doors of Jahannam are closed. But you will see after 8 rakats, nobody will run away. Only the Salafis, they run away. You see the harm they are causing. See now, the socks we wear. So there's normal socks, you see, nylon cotton. No one from A'imma Arba accepts it. No one. But they will tell you, no, permissible. Why? Because Sheikh Bin Baz said so, Sheikh Albani said so, Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi said so, Sheikh Salih Usaymin. We say Rahimahullah for them, and for Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi say Hafidullah. But we say they can be great. We don't argue on that. But they're not so great that they become greater than Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So once there is consensus among the four schools on any issue, that is Sharia and will remain Sharia till the day of Qiyamah. Whoever comes subsequently, Kain and Mankan, whoever it is, they cannot now go and abolish this, because the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tajtami'u ummati ala dalala. My ummah, open to you will find it. This is one of the dalail of ijma. So you must remember that this ulama, the giants of them, they will not agree on something that is astray. And this was carrying on for centuries. After centuries, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah came. His intention was very good, not to follow desires and that. But he went further and further in all these discussions. So these people took, you must remember, so many things. And now, if you show them certain things from Fatawa Ibn Taymiyyah, you see, they don't accept it. Now see the result of it, of today's Salafiyat. Just take today's Salafiyat. See the result of it. So anything before, you just go 20 years ago, because Alhamdulillah, we're going to the Haram now 40, 45 years, whatever. So with Allah's help and mercy, and Allah accept it. So anything you ask them, no, hada bid'ah, hada munkar, hada this. 15th night of Shaban, I heard myself in Makkah, the Imam saying that this light, ay ahdathah nas, and bid'ah and munkar and all. Then afterwards, now they make ruju, because Sheikh Albani said it's big night and all that. So you must remember this. So, but see today, now they can't speak one word. Every haram almost is being done. The beaches are open, the bikinis are there, and you must remember the soccer teams, the music festivals. So finish now. From one side of the pendulum where it used to make everything haram, now everything suddenly became halal. So this is the trouble with the Salafis, you must remember that. The Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia passed a fatwa. He said the ahadith on music, you must remember, are weak. You see how you have to dance to the tune, because you can't upset the rulers and so forth. So therefore I say Hanbali mazhab 100% we agree is part of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Again I reiterate, the Salafis of the past and the Salafis of today, the Zamin Asman Al-Farqu Bain Al-Thara wa Thuraya. So you must draw that distinction that today's Salafis, majority, I don't speak of the ulama, we speak of the public, that they know very little about Islam and so forth. They just look for a shortcut out out loopholes and say, this jaiz, this jaiz, this jaiz. Ma'al asafi shadid, in South Africa, you will find organizations, ulama, passing fatwa like this. Organizations, they will tell you three talaqs is one. They will tell you that you must remember you can make masa on the khufayn, on the, not the leather socks. You can make, that we all know is permissible, on this normal socks you can wear, and jaiz, we reject all that. They will tell you Shias are not kuffar. So you, many of the Salafis, they will tell you like that. You must remember, they say, no man, because Sheikh Shaltut, he does Egyptian scholars today. So he said that the Qadianis also, he had reservations. So many problems they create like this and this type of things. So therefore, I appeal to everyone, you must remember this for the protection of our deen, for the protection of our iman, in this day and this age, where people, this belated age, one should say. Therefore, we say is wajib and compulsory that a person follows one madhab, one school. Once you start jumping around, yes, in a Darulum or a program like this, we show that the Hanafi school, Shafi school, Maliki, Ambali, because in the Ummah you find all types. But you must remember this, that to say I will pick and choose and I'll do what I feel like, so that is a recipe for disaster. Quran Sharif states, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who made his desires his God? وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ وَلَا عِلْمٍ. Allah Ta'ala let him go astray, even if he got knowledge. And وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْئِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah Ta'ala seals their heart and so forth. So therefore, we need to suppress our desires and not follow our whims and fancies. And we got 2-3 minutes left. I just want to show you one last point of the Hanbali fiqh. He accepts Quran Sharif, he accepts, as far as speaking of Dalail now, how they would make istimbat and ijtihad. So they would use Sunnah Mubarakah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal hardly used to use Qiyas. He uses Qiyas very little. Ijma of Sahaba they accept. They accept Hadith and Mursal, which Imam Shafi rejected, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to accept. So you must remember, therefore also you will find a difference of opinion between Ustad and student. Imam Shafi Rahimullah was the first person to reject, you must remember, Hadith and Mursal, where a Tabi'i narrates a Hadith and omits the name of a Sahabi. But Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to accept in principle. There are some conditions, but he used to accept it. So like that, you will get difference of opinion. But we say, end of the day, that Al-Haqqu Bayn Al-A'immat Al-Arba, the truth rotates amongst them. And remember, إِنَّ مَخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْلِ الْحَقِّ وَمَخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ, that they differed for the sake of truth. They did not differ in truth. Remember that. So therefore, you must remember, one masla of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal mentioned in this book I'll give you, which other ulama don't agree, Al-Fathu al-Rabbani bi-Mufradat ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani. Now it happens that you are in Makkah, Medina, or any place. But why I say Makkah, Medina? Because there our people, they try it. Before, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you would find lot. So you must remember, people used to go and eat camel meat. Even now you will find, if you go and look for it, camel meat, you know. So if you eat the camel meat, so then your wuzu breaks. So whose mazhab is this? Only Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He says you have to make wuzu again compulsory. Your wuzu is broken. Majority scholars, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis say no. Your wuzu is still valid. Nothing came out. No najasat, no impurity. You ate food that is halal and tayyibah. So how your wuzu can break? But he quotes a hadith. So majority scholars say that hadith is mansukh, abrogated. Or the wuzu, therefore, yet the Wadda means ala sabil al istihbab, is better to make wudu, because camel meat can bring a lot of pride also in us. So that is one of the masail where Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is one side and all the other jurors and scholars are on the other side. Okay, our time is up. Jazakallah khair. So 12 o'clock the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and 12 to 12:30 inshallah, that by Mohan Dawood Siddharth a talk. We need to instill within ourselves taqwa. 12:30 to 1 another another topic by him, and that is by Mawlana Dawood Siddharth. So anyway, between 12 and 1 is more Dawood Siddharth. Then 1 o'clock to 1:30 after the Azan, the trip to Durban, the report back, this is the repeat of it. Then 1:30 to 2, Surah Yusuf, and verses 29 to 32. And 2 to 3, Madrasa on Amor Zaid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of the Q&A of this morning. And 3:30 to 4, Zindagi Ke Asli Kaam. So Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Dewla Sahab, that the work of Da'wat is the actual work we all need to do. 4 to 5, Jannat and the Bounties and Favors of Jannat by Mufti Yusuf Mangera. 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of last week Jummah Khutbah. 7:30 to 8, Mawlana Yunus Patel. And 8 to 10 will be Mawlana Arafat Atiya and Mawlana Salim Kareem, the discussion. And 10 to 11, Mawlana Ridwan Kaji. So may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us tawfiq to practice on what was said and make our khatima on iman, make dua for the children also there in the Polokwani. Allah Ta'ala return. I spoke to the father this morning. Allah Jalla wa Ala make it easy for the parents and the children. Ameen. Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Ameen, ameen. We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners. We head on with our brother Yusuf for the news now. Jazakumullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.